You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The 2018-2019 NBA schedule is out, and Sacramento Kings insider James Hamm from NBCSN joins us right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Welcome in to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am from Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship radio station of your Sacramento Kings here in the California capital, Sacramento. I work there as an on-air talent and multimedia journalist. I have the pleasure of being able to be your host here on Locked On Kings. Today, you might notice a slight difference in my voice. That's because I'm battling a minor cold. Not that you care. I like to get them out of the way well before the start of training camp and the start of next season. So hopefully this is my last and only sickness of this year, or of the remainder of this year, and I won't be feeling any of this pain until May and June of next year. But I hope everybody is doing well. Happy Friday to everybody. It's a great day here for two reasons. One, like I mentioned, James Hamm is joining us here on Locked On Kings, and I think you're going to love all the stuff he has to talk about. Shares a lot of his opinions on the Sacramento Kings, some inside information on what he knows and didn't know about the Kings making moves on draft night, maybe trying to move up to get Michael Porter Jr. He's going to share some very interesting stuff for you here in just a little bit. But the NBA schedule was released today, so everybody's scrambling and going crazy. That's why we delayed the release of this podcast until mid to later on in the afternoon, because at 1 o'clock Pacific time, the schedule was dropped. So we're going to go over that very briefly today before we get to James Hamm, and then we're going to go really in-depth, dive fully into the schedule on Monday of next week. So you have that to look forward to. A full-on schedule breakdown for the Sacramento Kings 2018-19 NBA season is coming for you on Monday. But I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm not going to make you go and search to see at least how this schedule gets going for the Sacramento Kings. I'll give you some notable dates and points about this Kings schedule that was released. First and foremost, some good news. The Sacramento Kings are opening up the regular season in Sacramento. I love when the Kings get their actual home opener to be their season opener, and I'm thrilled about this matchup. I'm psyched about this matchup because this is one of my favorite teams to watch coming into Sacramento on opening night. The Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert will be in the Golden 1 Center against your young Sacramento Kings to open up the NBA season on October 17th. That is a Wednesday, 7 o'clock start time. I hope to see all of you out in the Golden 1 Center packing it out and being excited and fired up for that one. I love Donovan Mitchell, one of my favorite players in the NBA, one of my favorite players to watch. I love Rudy Gobert because he is kind of an old school center that's thriving in a very modern NBA, and he is a defensive freak of nature. So he's going to be a really good test for Marvin Bagley and for Harry Giles and Willie Cauley-Stein even right out of the gate. So that might be a tough game. Here's the reality. The Kings might have one of the toughest starts to the schedule out of any team this season. And we're going to go over that in more detail on Monday, but I wanted to give you some more notable dates here. The first time the Sacramento Kings will take on the Los Angeles Lakers is on Saturday, November 10th. That's in Sacramento. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of Laker fans and a lot of Kings fans out there for that one. Should be a hot ticket. Hope to see you out there for that one as well. Luka Doncic fans, you won't get the chance to see him play in Sacramento until March 21st. That's a Thursday. So all the way until March, we have to wait to see Luka in person. However, the Kings will take on Luka and the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas in December on Sunday the 16th. Other notable games for you. First game against the Golden State Warriors will be on Saturday the 24th. That's in Golden State. First time the Warriors are here in Sacramento is December 14th. And then other than that, It's a wavy, busy schedule. The Kings play, let's see, 7 of their first 10 games, if I'm not mistaken, are on the road. So they open up in Sacramento against the Utah Jazz, then go immediately on the road for New Orleans, Oklahoma City, and Denver before returning home from Memphis and Washington. So the largest Kings road trip of the year is 6 games, which isn't too bad. The Kings also have some nice, decent homestands sprinkled within. Their longest homestand that I'm seeing, I believe, is also 6 games. Yes, 6 games is their longest homestand as well. That's in next year around February time, or actually, yeah, in the beginning of February and end of January is when that 6-game homestand is. So those are some of the most notable points and things to pay attention to also one thing, the first nationally televised game for the Sacramento Kings, which is on TNT, will be on, will be on the 29th of November against the Los Angeles Clippers. They do have a game on NBA TV before that. I don't necessarily count that as national TV because they still take local broadcasts for that. So the first real national game that the Kings will have is on NBA TNT in November, end of November against the Clippers. So that are those are some of the major points, some of the major draws that you notice right away from looking and analyzing this Kings schedule. Again, we're going to go into much bigger detail on Monday of next week, so be sure to stay tuned for that. I'm excited to bring you all of that. Let me know your thoughts on the Kings opening up against the Utah Jazz, and if you go through and look at the schedule, any questions that you may have about the schedule, any thoughts that you may have, concerns, excitement, the amount of back-to-backs, anything like that, you can let me know and reach out to me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. It's time to get to this conversation that I had with James Hamm. If you don't know who James is and you don't follow him on social media, you need to. He is a phenomenal insider for the Sacramento Kings. Someone who is deeply plugged into the ins and outs of this franchise. He gets a lot of the news right away. A cool story that I can share with you before we get to this James interview is that I was on the air the day that the Sacramento Kings made an offer to Zach LaVine. I was on the air at KHDK with Charles T. Hamilton. And funny enough, we had James scheduled to come on with us, but about 30 minutes before he was scheduled to come on, he texted me and said, "Matt, I'm so sorry, I have to cancel." And I asked him, "Why? What's going on?" He said, "Well, the Sacramento Kings are probably about 5-10 minutes away from putting out an offer sheet for Zach LaVine." So that's how plugged in James Hamm is. So he's going to be able to provide a lot of great insight for you. So I hope you enjoy that. We'll take a quick pause here, and when we come back, my conversation with James Hamm, Sacramento Kings insider for NBCSN. Pleasure to be joined by Sacramento Kings insider for NBCSN. You see him all the time on TV for Kings pregame and postgame. And if you don't follow him on Twitter, you need to. It is James Hamm, Sacramento Kings insider, someone that has all the taps on everything going on in and around this organization. And he's nice enough to join me here on the Locked On Kings podcast. James, hope your summer is treating you well. Hope you're getting through the month of August like we all are and getting ready for training camp in September.
Yeah, I'm just trying to avoid this heat and all this smoke. It's been an ugly couple of weeks here in Sacramento.
Well, all we have to hold us over besides preseason football, which I don't know if you care anything about that more than I do. It's a drag for me. But all we can do is talk speculation and think about and pre-plan. We know the schedule is supposed to be dropping sometime tomorrow afternoon, so we're looking forward to that for sure. But a lot to still talk about and watch for this team because, in reality, James, there's still so much offseason left. So I wanted to start kind of at the very beginning with a lot of my guests. I just want to gauge where they're coming from in terms of their approach to this Kings offseason or how they've thought this Kings offseason has gone so far. Landing the number two pick, then taking Marvin Bagley, a move that's been questioned by half the fan base and loved by the other half and questioned by analysts all over the world. What were your thoughts ultimately on so far the early stages of how this offseason has played out?
You know, I think you have to like Bagley because I think he can come in and instantly impact this team. He gives you a low post threat. He's a double-double machine. I do really think that he's got a ton of upside. One of the bigger upsides in this draft, I mean, he's a very young kid who walked into the ACC and absolutely dominated. So I like Bagley, but I'm not sure that that's the pick I would have made. I certainly would have looked at Luka Doncic very heavily just because it's the biggest sort of position of need on this team. And so I probably would have gone that direction. I really like the Michael Porter Jr. Sort of angle that the Kings were looking at for a while. But of course, when his back injuries just really proved to be way too much, I think the Kings did right by themselves by going a different direction. But I think the Bagley situation, it really does show you that they weren't sold on what they had at the power forward and center positions going forward. And they want something that to shore up that position and possibly has a really high ceiling for the long term. And, you know, Bagley kind of checks those boxes. I think it muddies the water what they're going to do with the rest of their bigs. And it leaves a gaping hole at the small forward position still. I think Bielitsa, one of their few acquisitions in the offseason, can really fill a little bit of that small forward, power forward, stretch forward position, which they really lacked last year. He's more versatile than Anthony Tolliver, who they had 2 years ago. And I do like the acquisition of Yogi Ferrell as well. I think he's a guy who comes in and can instantly improve the backcourt. I think it hurts Frank Mason a little bit, but I think it gives them more versatility in the backcourt, especially if they have injuries pile up, which they did last year.
I want to return to Marvin Bagley here in just a second, but James, when Michael Porter Jr. fell all the way to 14, I believe, with the Denver Nuggets, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of Kings fans were wondering, man, did the Kings get involved with trying to get back in and move some pieces to try and get that Denver pick, or maybe even the pick before, to try and make a run at Michael Porter Jr.? Clearly, there was interest, a lot of interest in him from the Kings before all the information about his medicals and his back and everything came out, but are you aware of any attempt by the Kings to try and make a move and acquire another pick on draft day when they saw Porter was sliding?
You know, actually, I reached out even on draft day while the slide was happening and asked very specifically at that point, is there any way you jump back in here? And I got a definitive, no, we're not touching him. That tells me that the Kings medical staff looked at his reports and said, look, he's going to miss at least this season. And going forward, it's a major question mark. Now, I think at 14, it's a question mark that I think the Kings should have probably asked themselves, because they easily could have taken on a contract like Wilson Chandler or taken on Kenneth Faried and potentially gotten that pick at number 14 from Denver. But he probably would have redshirted this season, which I think for the Kings probably would have been a good thing. They already have two rookies. They would have had him ready for next season. But if you're not sure that he's ever going to be able to play, then really you're not just hoping on a draft pick and tying up a roster spot, but you're also taking back a $15 million player or $13 million player, depending on what you were taking in that deal. And I'm not even sure that Denver wanted to trade their 2018 pick. They did have no problem trading their 2019 pick to get rid of some of this contract. But I'm not sure that they are ready to do that this year. Next year's draft is not nearly as good as this year's draft. And so, hey, you know, they weren't going to touch him. And then we see that, you know, he had to go under the knife again already. They're hoping that fixes his lumbar issues. But, you know, there are red flags all over Michael Porter, which is a real bummer, because I think he's got so much talent. It's ridiculous. And he easily could be the best player in this year's draft. It's just going to we're going to have to wait 4 or 5 years to see if he holds up. And even then, you know, can he be a long term player in the NBA? Can he play 12, 13, 14 years in the league? Or is he really going to be restricted because of his back?
Speaking with Sacramento Kings insider for NBC Sports California, James Hamm. You can follow him on Twitter at James_Hamm, NBCS. Get great inside information from him there. James, back to Marvin Bagley. Do the Kings selecting him, does them making that move, going for an athletic big man, suggest that they're committing to a run-and-gun style transition offense? And is that something that you can see being successful under head coach Dave Yeager?
Okay, so that's a lot of layers to that question, Matt. first up, yes, it does mean a commitment. I think that from one end to the next, Marvin Bagley is one of the fastest bigs we've ever seen come into the draft. His ability to finish at the rim, above the rim, on the fly, is next level. It's something that we haven't seen that much of in the NBA, a guy this big, this fast, this agile in the air, finishing on the break. I think that it really does show you the direction the Kings are going. They went out last season and they drafted the fastest guard in the draft, which is De'Aaron Fox. They want to push the tempo. Adding Yogi Ferrell again is a player who loves to run, even more so than Frank Mason. So I think it does signal that. And then the question about Dave Yeager, you know, to be honest with you, Dave Yeager has made his career with the grit and grind at the NBA level. But before the NBA level, Dave Yeager had mix and match rosters all over the place as he worked his way up through the NBA's minor league system, or basketball's minor league system. playing in the CBA, playing all over the place, coaching all over the place. And so for me, I think to pigeonhole Dave Joerger as just this grit and grind guy, he was only the head coach in Memphis for 3 years. And he, of course, had an established veteran team
right.
with players who could not get up and down the court in Zebo and Marc Gasol. So I kind of feel like we haven't seen what Dave Joerger can do, and I want to see what he can do with all the pieces that the Kings have. And I'm not sure that they have enough pieces as of right now, but I certainly want to see what he can do trying to push a tempo. I could hear him yelling and screaming all last season, run, get out and run, please run, go faster. This year, there's not going to be any excuse.
I would love to get your thoughts, James, really quick on Harry Giles after now seeing him playing in NBA competition in both Summer League in Vegas and at the California Classic. And then how does he fit into this Kings rotation going forward, you think?
Man, I love Harry Giles. I love the grit and the energy and the passion, the force in which he plays the game. I was so impressed with him. I know his numbers didn't just jump off the page in Summer League, but let's be honest, the kid has barely played in 3 years. He sat out all but the first game of his senior year in high school. He only played, I think it's 300 minutes at Duke in his 1 year in college. And then last year, of course, he sat out. He just plays with a fire. And I see a lot of Draymond Green in him, but I see it in a much, much bigger player. He's 6'10", 250. He has Chris Webber-sized hands and actually great hands to go with it. He can really pass. He's worked a lot on his jump shot. It's still a little odd. He shoots from the left side of his face. But I think he's a guy who can come in and can put up a double-double in the NBA on any given night. And he might even be a career double-double guy if he can stay healthy. I think with the Kings, him and Marvin Bagley are the future of the front line as long as health holds out. I just think he was a wonderful gamble at number 20. And I think the fact that the Kings allowed him to play in back-to-backs in Summer League, that shows you that the Kings are ready for him to play. They're ready to let him go out there and show what he can do. I think he's going to have foul trouble in his rookie season. I think he's going to struggle a little bit on the offensive end in his rookie season. But I think he's going to be the driving force, a catalyst-type player for this team going forward.
James, if you were going to ask me what my best lineup would be for this Kings team, I would put out some combination of De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and Bogdan Bogdanović all being on the floor together. Simply put, can Bogdan Bogdanović play the three successfully in the NBA, and will he get a lot of minutes at that spot next year?
You know, at this point, I think if we look at how free agency went, how the Kings chased Zach LaVine, that tells you that they were ready to move Bogdanović over to the three. He played a huge amount of minutes at the three early last season. The plan was always to transition him to the backcourt because they love the pairing of him and De'Aaron Fox. But to be honest with you, Buddy Hield really played well down the stretch. And I think he really stepped up. Oh, sorry about that. He really stepped up and showed that he was more than just a shooter. I think he's a really good rebounder for his position. His defensive acumen started to improve as we got through the season. He started picking up steals. He started creating for others. Those are the things that you want to see from Buddy Hield. So I think having Buddy Hield allows you to slide Bogdanović over. I think he will play a lot of minutes at the three. The Kings will try to get more size at that position going forward. But I also, I'll throw this out, Matt. The way that Justin Jackson played in Summer League, I think it really got a lot of people excited because he scored a bunch of points. For me, it didn't really get me excited because he didn't rebound. He didn't really play great defense. He didn't really get a bunch of assists. I think he really did struggle overall, except for as a primary scorer. Now, the problem I have with that is that doesn't translate to this season. He's not going to be a primary scorer. If he's starting, he's going to be the fourth or fifth option on the Kings. If he's coming off the bench, that might be the spot where you can steal him some time as a primary scorer. So if Justin Jackson can be that, and he can kind of do what Buddy Hield did last season for the Kings, I think that allows you to put Bogdanović in the starting lineup and then really, you know, sort of move those three guards around however you want to with Buddy Hield, with De'Aaron Fox, and Bogdanović at the three. So I'm intrigued by it, Matt. I think that that might be the way that they go, just because they weren't able to land that top-notch three that everyone knows that they kind of need coming into this offseason.
Final thing for you, James. I know you're a very busy man. Thank you so much for taking the time here. What is your definition of a successful season for the Kings next year? I know a lot of Kings fans would love for this team to compete for the playoffs. I just think that's very unrealistic with how much better the West has gotten. A lot of people want to put a win total on it, 30 to 33 wins, which ties the max that you ever won with DeMarcus Cousins. What are you looking at as a clear indicator of a successful Kings season by next summer?
It's so incredibly difficult. I think the one thing that you need to see is massive improvement, specifically from De'Aaron Fox. I want to see that Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles are the future. I want to see that Buddy Hield can be more than just a shooter, more than just a scorer. I want to see the next step from Bogdanovich. I want to see him be more aggressive and be more selfish. These are things that I want to see from this team. I want to see the young guys play the majority of the minutes. Like, I don't want to see over-reliance on Zebo. Mm-hmm. I think Kostas Koufos could actually have a role on this team because I think he can mask the biggest issue that Marvin Bagley has coming into the season, which is his lack of defensive acumen. And so I think that that's a good pairing for me, and I would like to see him play sometime. But really, I need to see that this team has a clear identity going into next offseason, where they have $60 million in cap space and they can go out and improve this team, this roster, the right way. Now, whether they can land that piece or not, I think we have no idea. But if you get through this season and you can see an outline of how this team can be successful if they add this style of player at the three or this style of player in the backcourt, then I think that you've taken a step, and I hope that they can win 30 to 33 games. I've covered the team. This will be my ninth season. My best season is 59 losses, which means my best season is 33 wins. I would like to see them hit that total, but I also don't think that Vegas is very far off with their 25.5 or 25 win tally. I think this team is going to have some struggles. They're not going to be able to just rely on a security blanket like Zebo this year to go get them baskets. They're going to have to find somebody who can create for themselves and for others. And I think that, you know, they have some pieces in place. You just hope that those pieces really take this season as the opportunity that it is to really grow and to become something bigger and better for the future. And so successful, it's difficult to put a finger on it. I just know that I need to see growth, and I need to see that the Kings have answers. They have five or six young players that are going to be on this team long term and have said, look, I am an answer to one of your questions. And that's how I think I gauge success this year.
James, you are the man. Thank you so much for taking the time. I look forward to seeing you at training camp at the start of next season, my man. Have a great August.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
It was a pleasure to have James on. We look forward to having him on again. He's very gracious with his time and always willing to have a conversation. Again, follow James if you don't already on social media for great Kings inside information, and check out all of his work on NBC California. He always provides great stuff there for you. So we'll definitely try and effort James Hamm more in the future, especially when the regular season gets going, but I hope you enjoyed that blurb there from him. Again, on Monday, we're diving deeper into the NBA schedule. We're going to break that entire thing down, look at the national schedule, but mostly we'll focus on the games for your Sacramento Kings and run through, talk about how likely it is that the Kings get off to a good start versus a bad start. We'll analyze all these games and try and decide what a good win total is to shoot for. All of that and more. Also, great interviews coming for you next week as well, so be sure to look forward to that. Become a part of the show. You know how to do it, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also reach me via email, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I'm still compiling my list of fans that I'm going to have on for brief interviews for some fan episodes later this month, so if you want to be a part of that, send me your name, send me your King's story, and some of your takes and things like that. Let me know you're interested to either Twitter or to my email, and you will definitely be in the list. I'll make my selection. I'll let you know who I'm planning on putting together in an episode or two, and we will get that all worked out later in the month. So be a part of that. Also, if you don't mind, so many of you have been leaving reviews on our iTunes page and on Stitcher. That helps us out so much. Any kind of out of 5-star review, any kind you want. And then if you can leave a little blurb about what you like, what you don't like about me, about what you don't like about the podcast, any suggestions you may have, topics you want covered, all of that is fair game. And we use it, we look at it, and it helps make this podcast and this podcast network better. So please do that if you have a second. I would really appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you more on Monday. Have yourselves a great weekend. Study this schedule hard because we're going to be going deep into it on Monday. I look forward to it. My name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.